أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful, the praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise, the thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and He will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa kunu as-sadiqeen and be with those who are truthful in their words and deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is that guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this is the time of year for resolutions. All the world is abuzz about New Year's resolutions. And in fact, a resolution is nothing but an intention that someone is resolved or committed to do. Some intend to lose weight. Some intend to be more productive. Some intend to do more of this or less of that. Intentions can be as diverse as the human being himself. And it is imperative that we have an Islamic perspective on the importance of the intention when it comes to the human being. We know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, surely, actions are only by intention. The intention, the Arabic word, an-niyya, it's a function of the self, an-nafs. This is not to be confused with the soul. The soul is a-ruh, The nafs is the self. The soul, ar-ruh, is pure. It's that life force that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, that empowers the self with control over this body. The nafs and the self that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has joined or made work together with the body. This is according to His decree. And the self that is placed therein, empowered by the ruh, is there only as long as Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree reaches one of us, it's the soul, the ruh, that leaves the body. The self and the body remain. The self, the nafs, remains in the body, while the ruh is gone. This is death. Think of it as the power being shut off. And we, the self, are left in the dark of our own bodies. No way to open the eyes. No way to inflate the lungs. No way to restore the power. Thus we should never forget, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no power, قوة. No hawla, movement, except that which Allah provides. Illa billah, without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't exist. Again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, surely action is only by intention. Now some of us may either know someone, or may in fact themselves be guilty of acting without intention or reacting without intention. And of course, that usually leads to regret. Because as always, had we thought better about it, we may not have acted in such a way. So how is this? If action is by intention, how are we acting or reacting without intending to do so? I don't know a soul on this earth that has not experienced that. And it's important to understand that it exists. This is not in contradiction to what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at all. But it is a function of understanding yourself. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach us about yourself, your nafs. That is the reason for al-Islam. How else will we know unless Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us? As He says in His book, Bala, without doubt, وَهُوَ الْخَلَاقُ الْعَلِيمُ, He is the all-knowing creator. Who else would know but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who else could tell you? Again, as He says, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَمْ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُ, He taught man that which he didn't know. We must understand, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that this, the knowledge, al-Islam, the Quran, the Hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the rahmah, the mercy. The mercy is the knowledge. at the top. How to. And most of it, and the most important aspect of it, is understanding the nafs. This self, ourselves, who we really are. For whatever reason, we may lose our hair. We may lose a limb. But who we are is still remaining as long as there is a ruh, life, in our body. So these things that are part and parcel of our existence, an appendage to this jism, this body, they don't really, in fact, represent us, who we really are, the nafs. And that's important that we understand that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with this deen to point it out and understand the importance of the self and how to control it. The best way really to think about this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in this day and time, in the time of Ghazali, he made references to horses and reins and steeds and people. We don't ride horses much these days, so the analogy can be made with a car. If we think of the body as the car, the gas is the ruh, the soul, and the self is the driver. When Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decides, no gas for you, that's it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given that gas to anybody else to give you. So they towed you away to the graveyard and pray for you. Of course, you are still in the car. But no one knows that but you. All they know is the car won't move. We can't start it. We can't even push it. All we can do is put it away. No matter what faith that human being may be, when they come across your carcass, only thing left to do for you is pray. Just like any car, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this body must be under control at all times. And unfortunately, we have a habit of paying more attention to our cars than ourselves. If you're driving a car, somebody may have experienced this, it comes to a stop and it lurches forward. First thing you say, oh, I got to get this fixed. Because it's demonstrated it's not under your control. You might not even drive that car until that is fixed, until you know you have full control over that vehicle. But how often do we find ourselves doing things that we later regret because we couldn't control ourselves? And thus, this is the situation. Control of the self. That control begins with knowledge. You must know the self before you can control the self. You must be aware of its power. You must be aware of its predisposition and inclinations. Just as you would never get behind the wheel of a car and close your eyes and put the pedal to the metal, you should not close your eyes on yourself. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in His book, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ. surely the self is inclined to evil. So you need to watch yourself. And again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in the Holy Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ تَخَذَ إِلَهَهُ وَهَوَاهُ. Have you not seen the one who has made his desires his God? That's the worst thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do, is leave you to yourself. Knowing that you don't know its inclinations, that it has a tendency to be self-destructive, that it likes evil. It can't help itself. And you can't help yourself unless you know something about yourself. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we return to this analogy of the car again. Here's where the human being is blessed by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He blesses him to be Muslim. Most people can understand and agree that we are like the driver of a car in this body, no matter what their faith. But what they don't understand is that this car comes with some other passengers. You are not in here by yourself. And the further and further that you get from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more intimate your passenger becomes with you. So much so, if you don't watch it, you can't distinguish between yourself and that other entity there within yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. And whosoever deliberately abandons the remembrance of Ar-Rahman, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we appoint for him a shaytan to be an intimate companion for him. A qareen. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that which is lawful is plain, and that which is unlawful is plain. That which is halal is plain, and that which is haram is plain. And between the two are mutashabiha, the gray areas, the doubtful things, the unclear things, about which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues saying, not many people know, meaning not many people know how to navigate this gray area. Thus, he who avoids the mutashabiha, the doubtful matters, he clears himself in regard to his religion and his honor. But he who falls into doubtful matters falls into that which is unlawful. Like the shepherd who lets his flock graze near a sanctuary, all but allowing them to enter it. Truly, every king has a sanctuary, and truly Allah's sanctuary is what He prohibited you. Truly, in the body, there is a morsel of flesh, which if it is sound, the body is sound. And if it is diseased, all of the body is diseased. Truly, it is the heart. Now, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, why do we mention this here? So we can learn about ourselves. ourselves. Not our bodies. Not our ruh that Allah put here. Ourselves. The heart is the seat of the self and the soul. It is the nexus. It's where all of these three things converge. It's where your body meets the ruh that meets the self, the nafs, in that one area. We have no doubt about this. You can lose your legs. You can lose your arms. You can lose your brain and be brain dead. But once that heart is gone, that's it for you. There is no more life for you in this dunya. Game over. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Is it not with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find comfort, find rest, relaxation? See, the shaitan, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, he does not stay in the mukh, in the brain. That's not where he's most effective. That's not how he drives a person majnoon, crazy. Or in Arabic, if you know it, majnoon means with jinn. Janna yujannu majnoonan, same root. That's not how he affects the human being. The shaitan, he whispers into the home of the heart, where you truly live. An nafs, from nafasa, yanfasu, this Arabic word has many meanings. Many connotations. But the clearest of them being the breath. The breath. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in His book, ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. And He shapes him, the human being, وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ, and blows مِنْ رُوحِ, from the ruh. Ruh from riyah, wind. Blowing from riyah, wind, the ruh, into this body, a breath, the nafs. That, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that is where we live. He put us a breath held at the heart, caged in the chest. Never looked at the chest like that, have you? It's a cage. Look at it. We call it rib cage, but it's a self cage. It's a cage. Got to crack it open with much force to open it. It's a cage. Where you live. And the shayateen, that's where they want to whisper. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, according to Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the shaytan places his trunk on the heart of the son of Adam. If he remembers Allah, he withdraws his trunk. But once he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he places his trunk back and devours his heart. And this is what is mentioned in the Holy Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says,
Al-waswasu khannas,
the one who whispers then withdraws.
Fi sudurin nas.
Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas.
Alladhi, the one, yuwaswisu
fi sudur as-sadr,
the chest,
an-nas, of mankind. Learn something about yourself. Allah tells you, is it not a coincidence, you think, that this surah, the last surah, is part of the mu'adhdhatain, the way of seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your enemy, a shaytan. And that to do so requires you to what? Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep your heart fresh. Keep that shaytan off of you. The real you. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the shaytan places his trunk on the heart of the human being. The person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he removes his trunk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds us, this should be our habit. We should be aware. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. You have to be aware, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, on guard, watching yourself. And being aware, hey, what's that? What is that I'm being encouraged to do? And if an evil motivation from the shaitan moves you to do evil, then seek refuge with Allah.
فَاسْتَعِذْ.
Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
اسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ.
That requires you to be on guard. That requires you to have
knowledge.
And thus, that helps you to gain
control over yourself.
So that you don't act without intention. So that you don't move or react or feel impulses and act upon those impulses. Those impulses from the shaitan, he prodded you. And there you go, man, why did I do that? And you're trying to find all kind of du'as because of what you did. You have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly and be on guard and be careful so that you are aware and are able to determine what suggestion, what thought, what impulse is from me and what impulse is from the shaitan. What impulse will please Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what impulse displeases Him? That requires knowledge. That requires vigilance. That requires understanding. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the purer your intentions, the greater your reward. That's why the shaitan, that's where he wants to start with you. He doesn't want to wait till the thought gets to the brain. He wants to start at the source. Corrupt it. See, it's very difficult, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. It's impossible to intend, to will, to do something that you do not want to will to do.
that you have no intention of doing. It's impossible. You can do what you don't want to do all day long. Many of us have jobs we hate. Many of us are forced to do things that we really don't want to do. But when you start at the intention, you know yourself, you know something about yourself, you can't have two opposite intentions at the same time. You either want to do it or you don't want to do it. Period. And this is why Allah SWT rewards for the intention. Because the intention is a function of the self. It is an act of the self. It's an act. It's something that the self does and then it tries to put into motion with its body. And so therefore Allah SWT, He rewards you if you have the pure intention. I want to do this for the face of Allah. See how the shaitan, something that we have to stop here. It's very important that we understand this. When Allah SWT in Hadith Qudsi, He says, Allah at-tayyib wa la yaqbalu illa tayyib. He is the good and He doesn't accept anything that is not good. Good meaning pure, whole, has integrity. From the first of it to the middle of it to the last of it is whole. And he reminds us, la tushriku, do not make shirk with Allah in your worship. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reminds us, I'm not afraid of you bowing down to idols, making the shirkun kabir. I am afraid for you about the shirkun sagir, the small shirk. How do you fall into small shirk? You don't recognize something about yourself. I keep telling you, some of us got a whole car full in here. We think it's just us and you riding deep with the devil. Because you haven't taken time to get to know yourself. And so therefore you have an intention. I want to do this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the shaitan right away, he's fast. Yeah, and then you can also benefit this way. And then another will chime in. Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah, you think that when you're doing something, you started with the intent to do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And here comes the shaitan saying that you can have some other agendas with it too and benefit from the dunya. You think, oh good, I'm all good. I'm killing two birds with one stone. You actually killed your worship and you killed your good deed. You must have pure intentions in Islam. You're not doing it for any other reason. I'm going to the masjid to answer the call that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had me come for. Don't let the shaitan creep in your mind and say, yeah, you know, you got them things to sell. You could do that too. Oh, and so, yeah, he wants a business. So, yeah, bam. You've muddled your intention. And you weren't even aware of it. You weren't even aware of it. And so when you get here, because what? Your intention that started with doing it for Allah, you show up, first thing you do, where's that brother that wanted to buy so-and-so for me? You don't even get into the masjid. And if you're not careful, the shaitan will delay you and delay you and delay you until you enter the masjid after the adhan. Not careful, not aware, not paying attention to the self and the intention. And how to keep it pure. When you want to do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do it for Him alone. There's a story of the man, the famous hadith. He had the intention to go to the masjid. So he got up, got dressed, went outside and started raining like cats and dogs. And he slipped and fell. Bam! Got up, kept walking. Slipped and fell for a second time. Bam! Then somebody came and helped him up. And made sure that he got all the way inside the masjid. Man said, who are you? Where did you come from? Said, I really don't want to tell you. He insisted. Oh, tell me, who are you? May Allah reward you, said, okay, but I really don't want to tell you. He insisted, he told him, he said, actually, I'm Iblis. He was shocked.
So why did you help me to the masjid?
See, you understand, the first time you slipped, Allah forgave you and your family. The second time you slipped, He forgave everybody in the community. And I didn't want you to slip for a third time where He forgave all humanity. So it was best to see you at the masjid.
So it's important, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we must understand how this deen that Allah SWT has blessed for our benefit, for our benefit, so that we may learn about ourselves
and not become a victim of the shaitan.
أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in the Holy Quran, فَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Then, by your Lord, we will question all of them about the things they used to do. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was also quoted as saying, there is none of you that exists except that his Lord will speak to him without any interpreter. And he will look to his right and will find only his deeds. And he will look to his left and will find only his deeds. And he will look in front of him and will find only the fire. Therefore, ittaqun nar, shun the fire, even if it be with a piece of date given in charity. And if that itself is not available, then at the very least, with a pleasant word. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this ayah, these two ayah that we read rather, from Surah Al-Hijr, there's a lesson that we can learn from a Muslim brother that lived not too long ago by the name of Dinar al-Iyar. Now this was his nickname, and it may tell you a little bit, if you know the Arabic, then you know. But if you don't know the Arabic, then you can also kind of guess his character from his nickname. And that was the shameful money. Meaning, however he got it, it didn't matter. Shameful or not, he did not care. And where he spent it, it didn't matter. Shameful or not, wasn't his problem. So much so that that's what they call him, Dinar al-Iyal, the shameful money. Sad, reprehensible, blameworthy money. That was who he was. So, his reputation had grown to be such a bad one that there was not a day that his mother saw him that she
constantly reminded him, yeah, Dinar. She even called him Dinar. Yeah, Dinar. Please, fear Allah in what you are doing. Please, understand that you're going to have to face your Creator with what you're doing, with what He gave you. But it went in one ear and out the other. And she prayed for him, begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him. And it just so happened that one day, Dinar was passing a graveyard. And he saw something that he found laying on top of just the ground, open. And as he got closer, he realized that they were human bones. Dinar had never seen something like this. Decayed, decrepit, dusty bones. And they were far from being fresh. So he picked up one. And as soon as he got it into his hand and applied just a little pressure, it burst into powder. And that scared him. It scared him to his soul, to his core. And the good that was left in Dinar spoke to him. And it said, "Oh, Dinar, one day this will be your fate." Something about that, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, something about seeing and realizing his own mortality. It was with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a pure intention. And he said, "Ya Rabbi, O my Lord, O my Master, you have shown me this frightening sight. Have mercy upon me. Guide me by your light to whatever pleases you." And he went straight away to his mother and he said, "Tell me, how can the sinner gain the pleasure of his master?" She understood that he wanted to repent and she was overjoyed. And he had taken his manner to be flashy and flamboyant of that time and wear all the finest robes and jewelry. And she told him, "You got to abandon all of this. You have to wear humble clothes. And you have to burn the flesh that you created with the sins and fed with the haram food, with the humble food, and with humility, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and eat what is permissible for you. You have to abandon everything of disobedience in your heart, in your clothes, in your food, in where you live. And turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, begging Him for His forgiveness, begging Him to accept your repentance." These words did not dissuade him or make him change his intention. And he asked her to help him find something that was humble to wear, the wool, rough garment like that of the Sufi. And he shackled himself so that he wouldn't be tempted to go back to the haram. And he began to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sins, not moving even for anything, fasting day and night, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and weeping. His mother, awakened by his wailing, she said, "Ya Ayyar, please have mercy on yourself." He said, "Mother, have you not heard what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He warned us about? Let me weep now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may let me relax later. What am I going to do tomorrow when I stand between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not knowing where I may be ordered to go? If I am going to be relieved under the shadow of His mercy, or if I'm going to be cleansed in the fire where my evil belongs. Tomorrow is the standing between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some will be driven to paradise and others will be driven to the fire. What am I going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He questions me? And no one is safe from His questioning. Did you not read when He said, فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Then by your Lord we will question all of them about the things that they used to do. And he continued to weep. His mother could not console him. On and on it went until finally she was sure he would not last another day. And she said, "Ya Dinar, O my son, where will I find you?" He said, "If you don't find me on this spot, on the day of judgment, then don't hesitate to ask Malik, the keeper of hell, if I am one of its residents." And he breathed his last breath and he returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she called to the people after washing his body and preparing him for the janazah, and she said, "Come and make salah upon the one who died fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his fire." And they came. And they prayed. And he had one of the largest janazas that anyone had ever seen. And one of his close friends who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed to be among those to caution him on his deeds and remind him to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That night he saw Dinar wearing a green garment, walking in paradise. And he said to him, "Then by your Lord, we will question all of them about what they used to do." And he said to him, "By His glory, He questioned me. And by His glory, He mercied me. And by His pardon, He forgave me. Please, my friend, tell my mother that." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him because his intention was pure, his repentance was pure. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, none of us are perfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't expect us to be. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Had you not sinned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would destroy you and create another people that would sin so He could forgive him." Now this is not a "I can sin for free" card for you. Don't think that. You should not think of this deen in that way, or these words of encouragement for those who may have find themselves always afraid and wondering if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has had mercy upon them and will forgive them, and they truly are afraid of meeting Him because they know that they have disrespected His glory. It is encouragement for them to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the merciful, the most merciful. And He is Ghafurun Ghur-Rahman. He is the forgiver, Lord of mercy, owner of mercy. And who is there that has not knocked on the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking forgiveness that He has not opened it for them? So this is the encouragement, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. But I caution you, inshallah ta'ala, about your intention. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, don't let the shaitan catch you and trip you so that you don't do one of the best things for yourself. You don't know that the shaitan knows just as much about you, more than you know yourself, and knows how you can save yourself and get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yourself? Is it not the words, and don't you know that he knows just this the same, in which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I have not seen anything extinguish the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the sadaqah. And this is where the shaitan, he's getting most of this community, making them stumble, that when you hear the word, it's difficult for you to have a good intention with it. The word sadaqah, it almost like your heart twists. There you go asking for money again. And he's right there cheerleading. Yeah, there you go digging in. And so therefore, he stops you. Because he knows that way, that path is forgiveness. And he's looking for company. He's not looking for people to leave. وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًا كَثِيرًا. And surely he has misled a great multitude of you. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah is the one that owns you, your pockets, and what's in it. And this is the test. When it comes to a need that Allah SWT manifests, and that need is for His cause, how will you react? What is your intention? May Allah purify our intentions, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Bless us to act in a way that pleases Him. And bless us that when we hear His cause, we are ready to serve and respond. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.